Good morning and welcome to our morning podcast Bible study. I trust that all of you had an amazing Christmas day and celebration and time with your family. And we're ready to get rid of 2021 and usher in 2022, right? And my hope, and now this might be a little sarcastic, but my hope 2022 will bring about more peace and safety. Now, some of you that are Bible scholars, you're going to know exactly what I mean by that, because there is a little bit of sarcasm, but there's also some anticipation in that little bit of message. But we're not going to focus on that. We want to pray, and then we want to get into this quick study, I hope, on why did Joseph and Mary lay Jesus in a manger? So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the blessing that it is to spend time in your word and meditate on your word. And as we chew on it, Lord, to get all the nourishment that is there for us, to be able to be filled up with you and the promises that you have, to strengthen our confidence, our faith in you, of your faithfulness to your promises as well. So won't you bless us today as we spend time in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So it tells us both the angels tell the shepherds that their signal, their sign is to go and find this babe that's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And of course, what do? They get all excited and they head down to Bethlehem. And what do they find in this manger, which is more not like what we depict it as Westerners, but it's more of a cave. And here's Jesus lying in this manger. It's actually like a trough that would be cut out of rock that he's laying in. So not the most comfortable bed by any means or crib, but yet there he is. The truth of what the shepherd said fulfilled specifically. But what about that, you know? And so it actually I can point back to, and I'm sure there are more illustrations of this, but in particular, it's very easy to look at what God was trying to do to help explain to the people back in Exodus chapter 16. And it says in verse 4, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day.'" So God starts this picture of the bread of heaven that the people need to go and gather every day for their nourishment. You know, just like for us, we need to spend time with the bread that comes from heaven for our nourishment. Well, of course, who is that bread from heaven? Well, the next thing we see is the message of God, the designer of communicating metaphorically but picturesquely. Are you seeing this message, the bread of heaven? And now all of a sudden we have the literal bread of heaven, Jesus. And where is he? He's laid in a manger. Well, manger in the Latin means to eat. It's the place where the people, the animals would eat. It's one to partake of. Oh, that's a similarity to the bread, the manna in that would be rained down from heaven. It would come from heaven, not from the earth, no, from heaven. Of course, that's what we know as Jesus is that he's the bread of life, the bread from heaven. And so uniquely, here he is laying in a manger. And in fact, later on, Jesus, when he's teaching in John chapter 6, he says specifically in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall not hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst." So that's an amazing statement that he is saying to these people who are looking to satisfy their bellies. And Jesus is saying, it's not about satisfying you physically. It's about satisfying you spiritually. That there's only one who is able to do that for you. And he has to be the bread of heaven. Are you paying attention to the way that God fits his story together? And so here he is specifically saying it right there for us to recognize and to understand. But Jesus doesn't stop there. When we get to the Last Supper, Jesus does what? He takes the bread and he breaks the bread. But first, he gives thanks. So, well, let's just read the account. Paul writes it for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord," this is Paul's writing, "that which I also delivered to you. And the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So this is what Jesus communicated very specifically to Paul. He said, "This is what I did. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So now, the fulfillment of what Jesus has come to do, the bread of heaven, to be the only way that man could get spiritual nourishment, to be satisfied with hunger for righteousness. It says in Matthew 5:6, it says, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus, for they shall be satisfied. He is the only way for us to be able to have the satisfaction of hunger and thirst for righteousness. God makes us righteous. We've taught many times before in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Jesus, it says, "He made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, Jesus satisfies that. He's the one who provides the way for us to receive what we need spiritually for both our hunger, our longing for a relationship with God, and our thirst for walking rightly with him. We can't do it on our own. If you have anybody trying to convince you that you must do in order for you to earn God's favor, then might I suggest to you that you run, because they're deceivers. That is not what the Word of God teaches by any means. No, Jesus teaches it plainly. It's about him. It's his death that brings forgiveness and eternal life. He is the bread of life. So God takes his picture that he paints from the manna from heaven, and he brings it clearly in view that he says, "This is from heaven. I bring you good news." Good news means gospel. Good news means Jesus. I bring you Jesus from heaven for all mankind to receive. To receive. You see, we must receive the bread just like we must receive Christ. It says in 1 John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name." You see, Jesus is the bread of life, and as he died on that cross and he rose from the grave, we take communion, we are remembering. Just as he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We do that in recognition of what he has done. Catch that? Past tense. It's complete. There's nothing else that needs to be done. That is the good news that the angels proclaimed, that the shepherds received by faith. You see, unless we receive it by faith, we can't please God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And what that reward is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's the best news ever. That's the best news for 2022. That's the best news that it's going to be for every year thereafter. It's eternal life in Jesus, the bread of life. Get both of it. Get understanding and receive it. So God bless you, and I'm looking forward to 2022. I hope you are too, of enjoying the satisfaction that comes from seeking and receiving the nourishment, the spiritual health from the bread of life. Amen. God bless you all, and thanks for joining me today.